Let's pray. God, today we turn to you for hope. Amidst so much darkness, there is still so much to be hopeful for. Remind us again of the hope that is deep down within us, the hope that you've planted within us, that you long for us to share with our world, and may we find words and strength and courage to share it with all we meet. Amen. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is within you. Always be prepared to share with anyone searching about the hope that guides and inspires you. This is Peter's challenge. This is the task that he has given each and every one of us. To be ready whenever we are called upon to share our hope with whomever might need it. And that begs us all to ask the same question. What is the hope that continually pushes you forward? What is the hope that energizes you and guides your actions? Where do you find hope? Peter makes it seem like our answers should come easily, that we should always be able to find the words we need to articulate it, to point to it, to define it for others. But the reality is that there's just so much in our world that longs for us to believe that all is hopeless, that we have no power, that there is little reason for us to act, to work for change. We are taught day in and day out that the problems, they are just too big, too complex, that no matter how hard we try, we just can't win. The odds are just stacked against us. And this seems especially true in a world like this, where we find ourselves grappling with this completely disorienting storm, which daily seems to enjoy tossing an unpredictable wave our way, which throws our dreams, our plans, our hopes into disarray. Lately, it seems like every day I feel like I've been forced into the center of a never-ending whirlwind. And trust me, living 24/7 in a house with a 3-year-old who believes everything is a toy doesn't help. But right now, I know I'm not alone, but it's hard. It's hard to find a path forward that will help me regain my balance and enable me to begin reordering my life, let alone the lives of those around me. And that doesn't even take into account all the injustices which are continuing unabated around us, like Black men being killed while taking a jog, or Black women being shot by the police while they're asleep in their beds, or the fact that COVID is disproportionately wrecking the lives of Latinx and Black communities, and so many don't seem to care. If I'm honest, at first I found Peter's challenge this week to be frustrating. And that's not because I don't have hope right now. I do. I find hope in the 10 joys that we talked about these last few weeks. I have hope in God's power and God's love, and I find hope all around me in God's wondrous creation. But for whatever reason, this season is just leaving me without much inspiration. It's a season without much energy and imagination. What's the hope propelling you forward? That's a question that I found hard to answer amid all these uncertainties that just zap so much energy every day. So this morning, I want to share how I usually answer Peter's question. Better yet, how I want to answer Peter's question. What's the thing that usually energizes and guides my actions? And the answer is you and our Anabaptist Mennonite faith and tradition. As most of you know, I felt drawn, even pulled, to the Mennonite Anabaptist tradition following the events of September 11, 2001. And I did so as I witnessed Quakers, Mennonites, and others devoted to the peace tradition openly reject the violent patriotism that so many of their fellow Christians demanded. I saw them advocating for a peaceful, nonviolent response to the horrors of that day. I heard people at chapel praying for love and grace for the terrorists, and sermons where people dared to speak out against the calls for vengeance and the shock and awe attacks that reminding us how Jesus called us to love our enemies and to turn the other cheek. I didn't know much about Christianity at that time, but what I thought I knew, it was anything but this. And as time progressed with many hesitations, I found myself being beckoned to explore this odd religious tradition, which is devoted to peace. And as I read the 500-year-old stories of the Anabaptists, I saw in their lives something different. I saw, for the first time, in their lives, the resurrected life of Jesus. I saw lives that defied death. To put it in the words of our psalm for today, I saw people who were willing to go through fire and water as they followed the way of Jesus. They passed through the waters of being drowned for their Easter faith, and the fires of being burned at the stake for their witness to the gospel of God's peace. In the middle of the 16th century, Menno Simons wrote about their dedication to the life of Jesus and to the way of peacemaking. They were committed to following Jesus, Menno said, no matter the costs, through fire and water, he said, quoting the words from Psalm 66. Let me read some of what he wrote. We preach as much as is possible, both by day and by night, in houses and in fields, in forests and in wastes, hither and yon, at home or abroad, in prison and in dungeons, in water and in fire, on the scaffold or on the wheel, before lords and princes, through mouth and pen, with possessions and blood, with life and death. Ultimately, this is what led me to the Mennonite faith. A deep longing to be part of a people that took Jesus seriously, that tried to follow all of Jesus's teachings, including nonviolence in the face of death. The only way I wanted to call myself a Christian was if I was part of a community, a tradition that considered Jesus's nonviolence as essential to the Christian faith, as a non-negotiable. For I remain convinced that peace, that nonviolence, that this is what hope looks like in our world. Let me be clear. Peace to me is a whole lot more than being anti-war. Peace is crucial to God's affirmation of life. Peace is about celebrating the goodness, the sacredness that is part of all things. Peace is about empowering the agency of everyone by refusing to manipulate or coerce, exploit or control another person. Peace is about divesting myself of the forms of power and privilege that strip other people of their dignity, that sacrifice their well-being and threaten their lives. And most of all, peace is about trusting in the power of God's forgiveness and in the transformation of God's grace. Because any form of violence, large or small, is the refusal to hope for a miracle, to hope for the impossible. It's a refusal to believe in the power of the resurrection. The reason I'm against violence is because I believe that the one who raised Jesus from the dead is actively redeeming and granting new life to everyone. So in the society that celebrates the death of one's enemies, that treats Black lives like they don't matter, that seems willing to infect Latinx people, elderly people, so many others, in order to maintain one's way of life and keep this economy going, Jesus' way of nonviolence, that is still my deepest hope for this world. And more importantly, it's my deepest hope for myself. This is why I see so much hope in you. For each week, in our worship, in our fellowship, in our willingness to meet together in however we must meet together, to walk and to care for each other. What I see is your strong desire to give yourselves to a lifelong education in the ways that make for peace. And I witness your commitment to know and display the way of Jesus. I'm overjoyed by our longing to be part of the nonviolent community of God, which we call the church. Church. To me, that's just a word to describe this school that we're all part of that learns how to be a people of peace, so that we can offer the same peace to the world, to our friends and our neighbors, to the people we work for and the people we work with, to strangers and even enemies. I'm just so thankful that each week I get to see the hope of peace in action through you. I see it in the way that we all choose to work through our differences with patience instead of resorting to violence. I see it in the way that we commit to struggling with each other through our disagreements and our conflicts, instead of abandoning each other when someone offends us or believes something different than we do. I see it in the way that we're trying to make decisions regarding reopening in the future that longs to take into account the health and the well-being of every participant. And I see it in the way that we are gentle with the people whom we may dislike, and how we seek out opportunities to actively love everyone. Peace involves so much more than speaking out against war and violence, for peace is a way of life. And I'm convinced that peace is what hope looks like in a world like ours. Always be prepared to answer anyone who demands from you an accounting of the hope that is within you. Always be ready to share with anyone who is searching about the hope that guides and inspires you. Someday I'd love to hear your answers to Peter's challenge. But today all I can say is that my answer is you and this tradition that we belong to. It's our commitment to Jesus' way of life that calls us to struggle patiently, honestly, vulnerably, with each other, with strangers, with even our enemies. It's our desire to be a community that risks embodying at all times the peace of Jesus, believing that this is the good news of God's love for our world, that it's the hope and the life which we all so desperately need. So let me close by quoting again those words of Menno. We preach as much as is possible, both by day and by night, in houses and in fields, in forests and in wastes, hither and yon, at home or abroad, in prison and in dungeons, in water and in fire, on the scaffold or on the wheel, before lords and princes, through mouth and pen, with possessions and blood, with life and death. Amen.